Good morning. It's good to be with you. And thank you, Malcolm, and everybody for your welcome. As we sit, let's pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we pray that by your Holy Spirit, you will not only turn our eyes upon Jesus, but that you will open our ears and our hearts to hear him speak. In his name we pray. Amen. On Monday of this week, a new exhibition opened at the Church of St. James, Clapham, in London. Entitled Hope, a Community Exhibition, it brings together photographs and artwork from local residents, schools, and a professional photographer called Jim Grover, which seek to express hope in all sorts of different ways. There are pictures of wildlife, newborn babies, sports crowds, homeless people, a rainbow, and much more. The exhibition is open to the public, and as people wander around looking at the pictures, they're offered free refreshments as they reflect on these images of hope. And they talk together about what they see. The response to the exhibition has been phenomenal, as comments in the visitor's book indicate. I quote, "Brilliant exhibition. Thank you for sharing so much hope, especially at a time like this." Or another, "Thanks for putting on. We all need hope at this crazy time." We all need hope at this crazy time. When I sent my choice of reading and theme to Malcolm about a month ago, little did I anticipate that it would be so relevant on this particular Sunday. Yes, the coronavirus was rampant in China, but China seemed so far away. Yes, there had been some serious flooding in the north and west of the UK, but as the Environment Agency has said, with climate change, that's just something we're going to have to get used to. Yes, the Diocese of Chelmsford is having to face up to some serious financial and sustainability issues. But we're working on it steadily, and there's time to address these complex matters if we all work together. But somehow, just in this past week, things seem to have escalated. The virus has shut down much of Europe, with an ever-increasing number of infections and deaths. The stock markets around the world have been in free fall. Flights have been cancelled, holidays abandoned. And on our doorstep, sports fixtures have been postponed, elections delayed, and the panic buying of loo rolls, baked beans and ready meals has been characterised by our empty supermarket shelves and overloaded store cupboards. What's going on? What's going on? As that visitor to St. James Clapham said, we all need hope in this crazy time. So how do we as Christians, both within ourselves and in those sometimes uncomfortable moments when others express their anger at us about a faith and a God who can allow such tragedy and suffering to happen, what has the gospel of Jesus Christ to say when everything around us seems to be falling apart? Come those perhaps all too simple words of St. Paul, which we heard in our reading this morning. Hope does not disappoint us. Hope does not disappoint us. Paul is writing to Christians in Rome, both Jews and Gentiles, to offer teaching and encouragement in preparation for his visit to them. He spent the first four chapters of his letter setting out the foundation of their salvation through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, in chapter 5, he encourages the Romans to stand firm in their faith and begins to unpack what this will mean for the grace-filled living of their discipleship. He writes this: "We also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us." Let me this morning briefly highlight three things which emerge from this short passage. First, suffering is a given. Suffering is a given. By speaking of suffering, St. Paul underlines the fact that Christians are not immune to it, somehow protected from the pain of being human. Rather, they are as fragile and vulnerable as anybody else. But they are to recognize that their suffering is held within the love of a God who himself knows what it is to suffer, and by whose grace they may be enabled to persevere with it. And not only persevere with it, but grow through it, deepening faith, trust, confidence, and hope in the one who suffers with them. People have sometimes asked me, when have been the greatest times of growth in your Christian journey? Well, undoubtedly, there was a time early on in my life when I grew in knowledge of the Christian faith, when I was a child and a teenager in school and in the youth group at church. There was when I was a student at university. There was when I studied theology back in the early 80s and the mid-90s. But there's a difference in growing in knowledge and growing in faith, isn't there? And as I look back, it's the times when I've known suffering that my faith has grown deeper. When my father died and my brother emigrated to the US within weeks of each other. When my eldest son dropped out of university because of drugs and drink and came back home and was unemployed for 2.5 years. When I was diagnosed with cancer in my early 50s and had to go through treatment and the prospect of testing for the rest of my life. These were the times when my faith grew. These were the times when Jesus has been most real. And many of you will be able to offer similar testimony. Suffering is a gift. Our hope is sure because of what Jesus Christ has already done. The cross and resurrection is the proof of God's love for the world. A love that is greater and more enduring than any horror or tragedy which the world can throw at us. As St. Paul has laid out already in the first 4 chapters of Romans, at the cross, the victory has been won. At the cross, sin has been defeated. At the cross, evil has been overcome. And at the cross, our eternal future is made secure. This is the truth that helps us to face suffering and pain in a completely different way to those who have no faith in Jesus Christ. For by God's grace, the Holy Spirit fills our hearts with the knowledge of God's love and frees us to see the future in a different light. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. One of the most influential books I read when I was training to be ordained was by the German theologian Jürgen Moltmann. It was called Theology of Hope. And it was written in the 60s, in that decade which was the years of the Cold War, of student riots, of the Vietnam conflict. What Moltmann encouraged his readers to believe, including me, was that hope was not something that we can conjure up from within or amongst ourselves, some kind of false optimism that blinds us to the terror of what is around us, but that doesn't really take away our fear. No, that kind of conjured up hope is not Christian hope. Rather, because of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, hope is breaking in from the future, coming towards us, if you like, because this is God's intention, this is God's desire, this is the coming of the kingdom, and this is the victory which Jesus has already won for us on the cross. Yes, Christ's kingdom has yet to come in its fullness, and he invites us, his people, to go on working with him to bring it to fruition. But as it says in the first two verses, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. Not in which we will stand, in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. It is about the future, yes, but it is also about the present. The hope of the glory of God is ours already. That hope is sure, and it is coming to us from God, even in the midst of our suffering. Suffering is a given. Our hope is sure. Thirdly, our future is secure. Our future is secure. Here on earth, we have a foretaste of what is to come through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. And it is the Holy Spirit who enables us now to look at life with all its tragedies, coronavirus. We are not immune to pain ourselves, nor untouched by the suffering of others. But by the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, we are able at the very deepest level to have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose grace we stand. And I believe it is as we stand, witnesses to suffering, yes, but as witnesses also to the coming and glorious victory of Jesus Christ, that unlike those pictures in that South London exhibition, beneficial as they are, we become ourselves images of hope. Images of hope. Living images of hope to the world around us. It may be in seemingly small and insignificant ways, but the manner in which you and I face the crisis of coronavirus, the manner in which we care for our neighbours who need deliveries of food and medicine, the manner in which we bear the disappointment of cancelled holidays, celebrations and events, the manner in which we support one another and pray for one another and for our emergency services, the manner in which we work together, not least through the Hope Centre here at St Mary's, all of these things will testify to whether or not we are people who believe in those timeless words of St Paul. Hope does not disappoint us. Hope does not disappoint us. Suffering is a given. Our hope is sure. Our future is secure. In 2015, I had a very difficult year. I lost a huge amount of weight. They thought my cancer had returned. My 26-year-old nephew died in his sleep. My closest friend's daughter died of breast cancer at the age of 32. Two other close friends lost their lives in tragic circumstances, and I was off work for 7 weeks with post-viral fatigue. And yet hope did not disappoint me. God was gracious and faithful, and the Christian community around me was faithful and loving and saw me through. As we look around us with all that's going on, we can be tempted to think it's words, all just words. But Paul's experience, the Romans' experience, my experience, and the experience of countless followers of Jesus Christ since the beginnings of the church has been, as one commentator puts it, that the believer's hope for the future is based not only on a faithful and powerful God, but in what they have already experienced and received from that God. The hope of future glory is based on the experience of grace already enjoyed. None of this takes away the horror and fear of what we face at this time. But it does encourage us to go on working by the power of the Spirit for the fullness of God's kingdom on earth. Because we know by faith the glory that shall be revealed and in which we shall share. That's why we can proclaim to and point us. We can be images of that hope. And we can proclaim that whatever plague or tragedy may occur, the love of God and his ultimate desire for our good can never be blotted out. Encourage one another with those words. I want to end with a statement that was written by the Bishop of Kensington, the Right Reverend Graham Tomlin, just 2 days after the Grenfell Tower fire in June 2017. In his blog, he spoke of a community's shock, compassion, grief, pride, and anger. But he also spoke of hope as the one thing that we as Christians can offer. He said this: "In the past couple of days, I have often been asked, what can you say to those who have lost everything, who have lost dearly loved ones? My answer: there is very little you can say. There are times when all you can do is pray. Prayer reminds us there is a God who weeps with those who weep, who hears the cries of the poor and disadvantaged, and while there are many things that happen in God's world that are not part of his will, in the end, his purposes will one day be fulfilled. We believe in the God of resurrection, the God of hope. And today, this is what we need. Hope does not eliminate our shock, our compassion, our pride, our anger, but transcends it, lifts it, and makes a future possible. Now, as we face the future, we need faith and hope that will make our love for each other grow stronger, to rebuild not just a tower block, but hearts and minds towards a city that truly cares for each other and where all can find a welcome, a future, and a hope. May that same hope sustain us and all God's people as we live out our call to be images of hope in the days to come. Amen." So as we sit, let's pray. Father, thank you that in a world of despair, you are our hope. In a world of darkness, you are our light. In a world of sorrow, you are our joy. Make us images of hope. Help us to share the hope of our hearts with one another. Enable us to offer hope to others through your work amongst us. And use us to transform and serve our community, that with our Christian sisters and brothers, we may spread your hope to every corner of this nation and every corner of your world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.